Right, well, good morning. It's good to see you again. I think this is about my fourth visit here. Well, my first time to speak as an actual member. Last time I was the visiting preacher, so at least I could have said what I liked and escaped and never come back. But now I've got to come back next week, so I've got to behave myself. Although while the cat's away, while David's in Ireland. But we're going to be continuing in the series that we've been doing on in the book of Ephesians under the title of Building a Healthy Church. And Jesus, as you know, said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And Jesus is building his church. Now, here we are his church. We are living stones being built together. And when we look in the book of Ephesians, we see how Paul is hoping that these people are built together. Now, Paul wrote this letter, as we know, when he was older and he was in prison. And he wrote to the Ephesian church, which he'd been involved in planting it. In fact, in Acts, he summed up his ministry in Ephesus. He says, I was with you for 3 years, admonishing you night and day. Who wants a pastor like that? To admonishing you for 3 years, night and day. But Paul begins in chapter 1, and he describes some of the tremendous spiritual blessings that we have. He says, you know, praise be to God who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And he goes on, wonderful truths. Amazing truths about us being adopted, about the riches of God's grace to us, and it's incredible. And then he gets to verse 15 in chapter 1, and he realizes that actually just when people just read those words, that's not enough. I mean, I can read those, but the treasures that are there need revelation from God. And so Paul says He says, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith and your love, I have not stopped giving thanks and asking that you will receive revelation, the spirit of revelation, so that you may understand the tremendous truths that he's trying to communicate. You know, Paul knew that we take a long time to learn things, and often spiritual truth we grows over the years. When I first became a Christian, I was told and given a definition of grace. But it was years and years I've been learning how wonderful it is. You don't learn it just like that. And we'll see that as we go through today. So Paul prays for them. Then he goes on in chapter 2, talks about by grace we're saved. It's through faith, nothing that we can do, which is great. And then chapter 3, again, he goes into some tremendous truths. He comes out with again in chapter 3. And he ends there before we go on to today's passage. He says, now in Jesus, and through faith in him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings. This morning we can approach God with confidence and freedom. Are you confident this morning? Some of you are. But some of you are struggling because you feel, well, I'm not very confident, I haven't done very well this week. Well, join the club. None of us are perfect. None of us can say, well, I've had a brilliant week, I've done everything I wanted to do. And then Paul begins to pray. As we come to this passage, chapter 3, and we're just going to go from verse 14 to 21, Paul again realizes that he needs to pray for these people he's writing to. And as we look at the way Paul prayed for the Ephesians in the first prayer and the second, we often realize that it's not quite the way we pray. And often we come and we have a problem, we say, ask God to solve it, we ask God to take us out of the situation, we ask God for healing, we ask for all these things, which is fine. But actually Paul doesn't do that. Paul prays for something else, and I'll explain that as we go through. But first of all, I want to read verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Now that is an amazing prayer. And when I looked at that, I thought, I've only got maybe 25 minutes to expound that. And half of it, I find it difficult. I mean, he talks here, doesn't it, about this love that surpasses knowledge. Well, if it surpasses knowledge, I can't know. So therefore, how can I preach on something I don't know? But what he actually means is that the love of God, it surpasses. We know a little. But there's more, and then there's more, and there's more. And our Christian life is learning and experience more and more of the love of God. Amen? We've got so much, God has so much more for us. So I want to basically just look at two aspects here. So you're not going to get a great sermon on the whole of this passage. Any of you know about Martin Lloyd-Jones? He preached for I don't know how many years going through the book of Ephesians. But I want us to look, first of all, 14 and 15. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Paul begins by focusing on God. Now, we have here two truths about God that sometimes I find it a little bit difficult to hold them both together at the same time. The fact that God is the Creator, God is the Almighty God, He's the Holy God. You know, He's the one that is in control, He's bringing things in history to a conclusion. He is the sovereign God, He's holy, amazing, the Creator. And on the other hand, he's our Father. And Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he kind of put these two things together. He said, you know, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it's this thing that we come before God and we can come with confidence and boldness because he's our Father. We can also come to him because he's almighty and he's sovereign, he's all powerful, he can help us and grant our requests. And holding those two is so good. When I first became a Christian, looking back, I realized that I was about 17 at the time. My understanding of God, although I knew he was creator, he was powerful, really my relationship with him, it was like he was my headmaster. It was like he was, you know, like God looking over the balcony of heaven, looking at me, waiting for me to do something wrong. You know, don't do that. Waiting to get a detention. Shows you what my school days were like. But waiting to do that. And yet, Jesus was my friend. And I knew Jesus was the mediator between me and God, so I used to pray to Jesus and ask him to pass it on. But over the years, Jesus introduced me to his Father, who became my Father in reality. And I think, for me, it wasn't actually until I became a father myself that I began to see even more the wonder of the fatherhood of God. And I know maybe some of you, you had a bad father, you had an absent father, and it will take a while for you to really come to understand and enjoy being a child of God and having God as our Father. So Paul starts off in that vein. But the other thing I just briefly want to draw your attention to that struck me, he said, I kneel before the Father. You know, there is something very powerful in kneeling down. In kneeling down in prayer. Now, in the Bible, we tell we stand in prayer, we lift up holy hands in prayer. The position in one sense doesn't really matter. But there is something powerful in kneeling down before God. Because when we kneel, we're submitting to him, we're showing him respect and honor, and we realize our weakness, but we also realize his greatness. When Irene and I, when we were preparing for our marriage, well, we booked the church and we went, we had our visit to see the vicar. And it was an Anglican church that we met in and we went to. And I didn't know the vicar very well. He was a great Bible teacher, but it was a big church and we got to know the curates and they really looked after us. But we went down and we prayed and he went through the service. I can't remember much about what he said. But at the end he said to us, he said, I want to pray for you. So he said, let's pray. And I mean, so I did what you do, you put your hands together, bowed our heads. But I noticed as he began to pray that he actually got out of his chair and he knelt beside his chair. And of course, we quickly did the same. And he prayed for us. And I can't remember much about what he prayed, but he prayed for God's blessing on our marriage and everything else. But that simple act of bowing down and acknowledging who God was, and he was asking God to bless our marriage, was very powerful. I've never forgotten that. And actually, his prayer worked. 51 and a half years later, we're still very happily married. So we can bow down. And that is useful at times, just a wonderful, useful tool. The second thing, and the main other thing, he goes on, he says about being strengthened with power. Paul prays that they may be strengthened with power. He doesn't pray that they'd be delivered from all their problems and troubles. He said, I want you to be strengthened with power in the inner man by the Spirit. And I found that, and having to kind of go back to that in the last kind of couple of weeks looking at this, I found that very helpful in terms of praying for Ukraine. I mean, sometimes I just don't know, where do you start? But I thought, I'm going to pray for the Ukrainian Christians that God will strengthen them in their inner being so that they can endure all the troubles they're going through. I can't imagine most of it. But I know that God wants to strengthen them and reveal more and more of the love of God to them. And that's how we can pray for one another. When someone comes with a problem, we pray, but we need to focus on God first, not on the problem. Because when you start praying about the problem, it gets bigger. When you start praying, remembering God and ask, and get our thoughts on God, as Paul focuses on God first, when we do that, then the other things seem to work out and come, which is brilliant. You know, I had a friend, a very dear friend of ours, who's in He's in his sorry hospital now. He's been ill for quite a few years. And I don't think he'll last more than a month or two now. His heart's failing and there's nothing more they can do. But so I pray for him that God will strengthen him. And actually, God has strengthened him over the years as he's suffered much. He's been radiant for Jesus, never complains. And often when I don't know what to pray, I'll pray, God, strengthen him. Give him strength to carry on. Let him know the hope to which he's been called. You know, because the fact is, he's older than me and we're all going to have to die one day. But God can strengthen. I'm sure you've heard many testimonies of people who have been suffering much, but they've honed in on God and they've radiated Jesus. It talks here about Christ being not just filling us, but being revealed in us as well. And that's what happens. So pray for each other. Pray that we'll be strengthened. And when Paul wrote these prayers, this prayer, when he prayed these things, he wasn't talking just theologically. When you look at Paul's life, I've got some verses that describe Paul's experience. In 1 Corinthians 2, 2 and 3, he said this. He says, "Now, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquent or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, but I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, great fear and trembling." This was Paul when he went to Corinth to start the church there. He went in weakness, great fear and trembling. So it gives me confidence to stand up in front of you. He said God allowed that and God used him so that actually what happened in Corinth and the mighty acts that happened, God got the glory, not Paul. God got the glory, not Paul. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27. When Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I think of what you were when you were called. Think of what you were then. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, that no man may boast before him." God has chosen you, right? Now, I don't want to insult you, but he said he chose the foolish and the weak and the despised. He says, not many were noble. I mean, some are. Not many were brilliant. I mean, one or two of us. I mean, one or two are. But God chooses all people. And I have this sense that maybe there's some of you that kind of almost discounting yourself because you feel, well, I'm not very good. I'm weak. I've got too many problems. I'm not very good. And I've had a bad background. Ideal people for God to use. He calls you for a purpose because he loves you. And so Paul knew that from himself. In Philippians 4 and 12 and 13, Paul says, "I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And then he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Isn't that good? He was weak, but he knew that he could do everything God had called him to because he was strengthened in Christ. And it's the same for you and me. I mean, you can do it. You may feel weak, you may feel not up to the task, but God is able to strengthen you. And Paul knew that, and that's why he prayed God to strengthen them in the Spirit. Second Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. Again, an experience Paul had. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. That was a thorn in the flesh. It could be an illness, a sickness, or an oppression, a messenger of Satan. But he had this thing that really bugged him and plagued him. And he asked, he said, three times I asked the Lord to take it away. He said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I rejoice in weakness. Paul knew what it was to live with a weakness. And he obviously didn't like it at first. But when God spoke to him, he realized that actually in his weakness, God could be glorified. Amen. So he came to actually like his weakness because it did him good, because he knew more of God. Amen. I think maybe James understood a bit of that when he said in his epistle, you know, count it all joy, my brothers, when you enter various trials. You know, most of us count it a real curse if we go into it. But actually, because he knew that our faith will be strengthened and will grow through trials. So we need to do it. And the last thing I've got of Paul is in 2 Corinthians 4, 16. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now, when you get to my age, you can identify with that. You know, the outer man and the inner man. That's basically our soul, our spirit, our heart, our what we are inside, our character. And we all know that in our society, outward appearance is everything. In fact, it seems that some people will do anything they can not to get old. Look at all the anti-wrinkle creams you can have. Loads of them. I've used one once. I didn't buy it. I was given to it as I was going out of Boots once by they having ask your question and then they give you a free tube of Nivea anti-aging cream for men. Well, it was free. I tried out. I put it on. It's a few years ago. Then how many days it lasted. And then I said to Lorraine, have you noticed anything different about me? You know, do you think I look a bit younger? Nope. It didn't actually work. But people spend a fortune. You can have a facelift, a Botox and everything else. But we know that actually God looks on the heart. He says, he said to Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And God wants to renew us day by day. Day by day. I think maybe for the last, maybe 4 or so years, I've had a few more, I felt my age a lot more. And when I was about 3 or 4 years ago, a dear friend of mine said, David, I've got a book. I think it would be good for you to read. And so I said, oh, thank you. I mean, it's a Christian book. And this was the title. I read the title. It said, at the end of the day, subtitle, enjoying life in the departure lounge. And I thought, oh no, I'm living in the departure lounge, am I? But actually, it was encouraging. So actually, you know, we have to accept that we are getting older. It's not always easy. I mean, I'm having a bit of a battle. When I go out for a run now, when I come back, Lorena always says, oh, you didn't fall over, did you? At my age, should I be doing it? But the thing is that it's the inner person. God is able to renew us. And I thought, yeah, I want to continually be renewed. Otherwise, I'll end up being a grumpy old man. But as God renews us, as we understand his love, you know, things like bitterness and unforgiveness can't be there. As we become more like Jesus, they will go. And there is something inwardly about that, the beauty that comes from knowing God and having Jesus living in us. And Paul is praying, strengthen these people that they may do that. God wants us to experience this wonderful love of God, but we do it through being strengthened by his Spirit in our inner beings. And while we do that, and when we pray for one another, we need to do that as well in that way. Ephesians 3:13 says this. It says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today. To encourage means to strengthen. You know, and God will strengthen us by his Spirit. God strengthens us through his words. But also it does it through one another. Through one another. In that prayer he talks about, if I can find it, he says that we may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how big God's love is. We are actually in this together. We are in this together. You know, if you're just going to sit on your home, at home, and just say, strengthen me, you're going to miss out, because actually we pray for each other. We need each other's prayers. We need to be strengthened and encouraged. And God will often use another brother or sister to strengthen us. And he will use you to strengthen. A word of encouragement, a small word of encouragement, can make a small difference. There have been a few times in my life when I have been very discouraged. And God has allowed someone to come and say a word of encouragement. They didn't know my situation, but it happened. And there's just one example I will give you before we close. That years ago, I used to have we had a football team in our church, which, you know, if we're up for it, guys, I don't think I'll be able to lead it anymore, but I'll try. But we had a team, and we used to play maybe every two or three weeks, find other churches, all friendlies. But one of the time we were playing, one of the young men that had recently been a Christian and maybe about, you know, a couple of months, and it was great. He was playing for us, and he was tackled, a bad tackle. He fell. He went to the floor, and I saw it. I thought, oh no, because knowing what he was like, I kind of trotted over to him. I thought, I must get to him before he gets up and he thumps the other guy, because that's what he was like, you know. But before I got to my amazement, he just got up, kind of shook his legs, and walked away. I thought, amazing. After the game, as we were walking off the pitch, I went to him and I said his name, and I said, I'm just so pleased. I said, that was a bad tackle. He said, yes, it was. I said, but I saw what Jesus has done in your life. I said, 2 months ago, you'd have decked him. He said, yes, I would. He said, yeah, I suppose I would. I said, I thought nothing of it. Years later, when I met him, when we were talking, he said, David, do you remember that football match? And you came up to me afterwards and said what you said. I said, yes, I remember that. Just about. And he said, well, you don't know. He said, but I was at the point of giving up. He said, I was looking at my life and I was thinking, you know, has Jesus made a difference to my life? Have I changed? Obviously, the devil was having a real go at him. He said, but when you said that, I thought, yes, it's working. Jesus is working. And he's still walking with God today, many of them. So encourage one another. Strengthen one another in your prayers, in your words. I've joined Signal, which is not, that kind of thing's not my favourite thing. But you have been encouraging one another on that. When someone has a problem, everyone prays. keep it going. So I'm going to close now. Now I actually want to, pray for you. I want to pray for you all before I close. So if you'd like to bow your heads in prayer, I want to pray for God to strengthen us. So pray for you, pray for me as well. So I'm going to pray. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come before you now, Lord, and Lord, I kneel before you and I acknowledge that you are the sovereign God. You are our Father, but you are the almighty creator God. Lord, and I pray that out of your glorious riches, you will strengthen us all with your power through the Spirit in our inner beings. Father, that Jesus may dwell in our hearts through faith. Lord, I pray that we'll be rooted and grounded in that love and that we'll begin to understand something of the depth and the breadth of your love. Father, I pray for Lord, each one here. Lord, I don't know all the problems that they're going through, but I pray, Lord, that they will know your strength to endure, your strength to overcome. Lord, your strength, Lord, to become more like Jesus. Lord, we admit we are weak and on ourselves we can't do that. But Lord, we thank you that you are able. And we thank you for one another as well. Lord, that we will continue to be strong and be help. Lord, encourage one another. So we ask these things that Jesus might be formed in us. Amen. 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 Okay, God bless you. Thank you.